Get Talent Podcast.
Hey, Danny, you ready for this?
Let's do it.
We have a little fun today?
Yeah.
Let's get into this, huh? Hey, man. I'm excited about this one.
Me too.
You excited?
I'm excited.
You have a little fun today?
Yeah.
Yeah, right? We're here in Dallas, right? In the studio together. Got the Stones rocking on.
Man.
You're a Rolling Stones fan?
Yeah, you?
Yeah, I went and saw the Rolling Stones last year. Mick Jagger's like 80 million years old. And he's still rocking and rolling, man. He was dancing and prancing in the rain, dude, on the Cotton Bowl. It was pretty amazing.
Yeah. Beatles, or would you say, which one? Would you prefer?
Beatles or the Stones?
Stones.
Oh, Stones, hands down. Well, I'll tell you what. Beatles have more hits. I mean, Stones have a lot of hits. But to me, and the Beatles showed a lot of depth, but for me, I'm more of a like a little edge to my music.
Yeah.
And the Stones, people don't realize this, are actually a blues band out of the UK. In fact, the Rolling Stones, you know, got their name, I think, from a Muddy Waters track.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, I'm more, you know, it's more my vibe. But I played this music today, Start Me Up,
yeah,
by the Stones, because I thought it was perfect for our podcast today.
It's great.
Yeah. So what are we going to be talking about today, Danny?
We're talking about onboarding.
Okay. Yeah. Onboarding.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's get into it.
Let's do it.
Yeah. Onboarding. Onboarding is important, don't you think?
I think it is.
Is it really, though?
It's important. A lot of people maybe don't think it is, but I think it is.
I mean, listen, like you know, does the job start when you show up, or do we have to like plan ahead for these people coming in? You know, I mean, like, can't they just like show up and like, you know, start working and get after it?
Yeah, I mean, look, that's the way they used to do it, right?
Yeah, here's a phone book, figure it out.
Figure it out, you know. But according to SHRM, Society of Human Resources Management, they did a study, 2022, and they found that 74.9% of employees do not have a clear understanding of what to expect on their first day, isn't it?
Should they?
I think that's a good idea.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think that a CEO's job is to provide clarity to the organization. I think that's really leadership's job, is to provide clarity on what the duties and expectations are of the job, and then to provide the tools necessary to do the job.
Yes, absolutely. Ben, what's been your experiences in the past with your onboarding or first day?
Yeah.
We talk about this all the time.
So I've had a few first days. I mean, I remember one of my first jobs was breaking down boxes in the basement of a delicatessen in New York. And my first day, they handed me a box cutter and opened the door to the creepiest basement I've ever seen in my life and said, go get them, kid. And I'm like, wow, that's great. And the second day, they said, you got a friend that can help you with this? And then the third day, I brought my friend. And then the fourth day, they told me my services were no longer needed. They were just going to keep my friend. So that was how that went. You know, I could have used a little more onboarding, I think, in that situation. But no, I mean, I think sometimes the onboardings is you know, here's your cubicle, go down the hall, talk to Rick in IT and get your computer and figure it out.
Yeah.
And sometimes you show up and, you know, it's like this big, beautiful LinkedIn picture. They got the backpack and the coffee mug and the company pencils and all your stuff set up all neat, and somebody with a lot of time on their hands has invested in your workspace. And it's, you know, it's beautiful and picturesque, and you got like a gift basket, and you're like, I'm just so happy to join the team here at X Company, you know?
Donuts ready.
I wonder sometimes, I'm like, does that stuff matter, you know?
I think it does. You know, for me, one of my first experience and recruiting was my first day, and it was crazy. You know, I came in, they didn't have a computer ready for me the first day.
Yeah.
So I was on my phone.
So what did you do?
I was on my phone. I was just trying to do things on my phone. Came in there, we were sharing an office with another recruiting, and the next day, a big box.
So you started and you had nothing going on.
Nothing going on. No direction.
Like, was this song playing in the background? Was Drizzy? Was Drizzy?
No.
I feel like this was your first experience.
You know what that was? You're right. Now that I think about it, yeah.
You really started from the bottom.
Really started.
No computer, nothing.
No computer.
Just sending smoke signals and facsimiles.
That's it.
Yeah, yeah.
Exactly. So came in, there was a box there waiting for me the next day. I was so excited.
You're like, oh, I got a box. Day two, much better than day one.
Start opening the box. It's one of those, you know, no laptops back then.
No laptops.
No one's using those.
That's a CRT monitor.
Opening it up and the bubble wrap and all this noise and it's getting crazy, and all these recruiters, experienced recruiters, are looking at me like, is this guy? And I'm just like really uncomfortable.
You're like having to unpack your own gear, set it up.
Exactly.
And that's funny how you remember that, because that would be something easily I'd be like, well, like you just throw the box on our desk, you figure out things, set it up. I'm surprised that was like a that kind of a traumatic event for you to like have to unpack your own stuff.
It was.
And set it up. Like such a good learning right off the bat. Like the things that we remember that we hated are sometimes the best learning lessons, right?
Yeah. We talk about that all the time.
Yeah. Any other onboardings that you remember that maybe anything that was positive?
Yeah. I mean, starting here.
Yeah?
Yeah. I mean, I was at home.
Yeah. So that makes it a little more difficult, right?
Yeah.
You still had to like unpack your own crap.
Still had to do that.
Slightly triggering.
Yeah.
Like, oh, another one of these.
Yeah, exactly. But I felt welcome right away. Even, you know.
Why did you feel welcome? And I love the fact that you have to say this right now because I'm here. But why did you feel welcome?
I felt welcome, number one. I had an email ready.
Email, that's all it takes.
I had email ready to go. That was the big one.
Oh, you had your email set up.
I had my email set up, yeah.
Yeah, that's big.
That was big, right?
Okay, what else?
Bagels.
Isn't it funny how basic this is? Like, opening a box was bad. Bagels is good.
Bagels is good.
I need email.
Exactly.
You're a simple man.
Simple man, that's it.
Yeah.
Don't need much.
Why were the bagels?
It shows that the person you're working for cares.
Yeah.
The company you're working for actually cares about you and is thinking about you.
Yeah, and I think shout out to Jana, because Jana made the bagels happen. I think we found a nice little bagel shop near you. Probably a good one, too. It wasn't just like some janky Einsteins.
No.
There was thought put into it. I think that's important, too,
yes.
Right? When we make a gesture, make sure there's thought put into it, you know? Yeah.
Totally. What about you?
Yeah, you know what? There was. At my last firm, when we signed the deal, they overnighted me an edible arrangement in my house.
Mm.
And it was this big, gorgeous, you know, melons and pineapples and chocolate dip straw. I mean, it's very over the top, ornate, right? Ostentatious, which is my love language. And it's set there on my porch in the midday sun. And they call me like, did you get the package? And I'm like, no. Like, what package? It's like, yeah, it was delivered to your home at 10 a.m. And I'm like, no. Like, so I went home at lunch, grabbed it, came back to the office. And so I brought my new company's care package to the office. And all my team were like coming by, like stealing my chocolate covered strawberries. They're all eating. And honestly, at the end, they all said like, man, I wish I was going with you. I wish I was going to work. The little thing of feeding people on their first day.
Totally.
And giving them that like breakfast.
Yes.
Food.
Yes.
Little sweets, little something, little nostalgia, little something good.
Totally.
Man, what a way to start the day.
It really is. It really is. And like you said, it really is the simple little details that I think we miss, right? And it starts what they call the pre-boarding.
Oh.
So.
Pre-boarding.
Pre-boarding.
It's
yeah.
like an airport thing.
Exactly. Exactly.
Like first class.
Standing in the lounge.
Concierge key. Yeah. People with disabilities.
Exactly.
Who's pre-boarding? What's pre-boarding mean? I didn't know this was like Southwest Airlines over here in my group A. What does pre-boarding mean?
Pre-boarding means that you're essentially planning for onboarding. You're doing all the things you need to do to get set up for the onboarding.
So onboarding doesn't start on the first day.
No. Well, they even say it goes back from the interview process, right?
You know, now that you bring that up, that's such a great point, because that same company that got me the edible arrangements during the interview process, oh my gosh, they crushed it. So they flew me there for the best and final. You know, and normally you go get brought into, headquarters, right? And they put you through the car wash, right? Where you interview with all these different... But they knew that they were getting me... It was a relocation. So they knew that they were getting me to move. And they knew that they didn't only have to sell me on the job. They had to sell my family on moving to Michigan. And none of us had been to Michigan. And frankly, let's be honest, none of us had a really good impression of Michigan, Detroit, etc. They knew that that was kind of a sticking point. So they flew me, my wife, and my son to Michigan. They put us up in this really swanky like golf resort. When we checked in at like 11:30 at night after a long day of travel with like a one-year-old, I get in the room and there's this cold Michigan Riesling in the fridge, which is what you need after a long flight. You need a glass of wine. A whole like desserts tray covered up in the fridge. So you need a little sugar, a little nosh, right? Get a little nosh, get a little, you know, Riesling going there. Mm-hmm. And it was just the best way to just kind of sit down and be like, honey, we're here. Gonna do this thing tomorrow, see how it goes. And then during the interview, I went through the car wash as I had to do, you know, and talked to everybody. And during the day, they set my wife up and my son up with some of the ladies in the office who are of a similar age and situation to take them around and have lunch in a nice little downtown area over here to go around and see some of the different neighborhoods well. And she was just so taken with that experience. And then we ended at dinner at the owner's house. We took a boat ride. They brought another executive in from out of town. It was really cool. And I mean, so you tell me pre-boarding starts with the interview process. And honestly, I'd never thought of that before until you said it, but you're so right.
It does, right? And I remember that story, Love and Reload, and it stuck with me.
Wow.
I remember that. It was an episode earlier on that you did.
Get over here, Danny.
And it, 'cause you have to sell the family more than 100%. The employee. Yeah, so some of the pre-boarding issues, you know, you want to make sure their paperwork is ready to go, you know?
What do you mean by paperwork?
You got to get there, make sure you're prepared to get their license, to make sure that they have their materials, their onboarding materials, their passwords.
Yes. Do you like to see this done in advance of the first day, or is this a good first morning of stuff to do?
I don't know. I think you can go either way, to be honest. I think you just have to have it.
Yeah.
So what about you?
And probably communicate to the employee what they're expected to bring.
Exactly.
It's like, God forbid, they don't bring their license, or they don't bring their passport, or they don't bring, you know, some piece of documentation, they have their social security card or whatever they need, you know, that's important. So I think communicating with them the expectations up front and saying, here's the documents you need to bring day one. Here's what the agenda is going to be for at least the first day, if not the first week, right? So that I know what I'm preparing for. You know, am I going to have to run out and do a drug test somewhere? Am I going to have to go to an offsite facility, go see some other people? Am I going to be in a warehouse today? Do I need to bring some steel toes?
Take pictures.
Like, am I going to be taking a headshot on my first day? Like, what is that encompass so I can be prepared, I can be confident going into.
Exactly. I also think issues with getting paid. So making sure your accounts are set up so your employees can get paid.
We pay people now?
I think so.
Nice.
I think we get paid.
Nice. That's a good job. Right?
It's a good job.
Should place that one. No, yeah, for real. Yeah, there's a lot that goes into that, right? Direct deposit, you need to bring a check or whatever, with a check or something like that.
All these little details. So the other thing, you know, that we talk about some of these challenges is training, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we
this
talk.
This is a big one.
It's a really, we could do a whole podcast on training, but.
Probably will.
We will, yes. I mean, there was a study done in Forbes.
Read a lot of studies. You study a lot and you're studious?
I'm studious, yeah.
Yeah, nice.
You're studious.
Very prepared, I like.
There's an article and they said that 59% of workers claim they had no formal training and their skills were self-taught.
59% of workers had no formal training, skills were self-taught. That's in their current job.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's not being like a self-taught musician or something like that.
No.
It's like, yeah, Adam's over here, our video production. I was like, yup, me.
Yeah.
Sorry, Adam. Sorry I let you down, Adam. No formal training for Adam.
Yeah.
Sheesh. You know, everything comes out on the podcast. I wish we would have these talks before we get on the podcast. No, I'm just... I can see that.
Yeah. You know, we talk about it all the time, how important it is. And you always stress that to me. When onboarding new people, you know, we've got to have the training materials ready. We got to have a plan.
That was a big thing for me. So we just recently brought on three people. And honestly, the number one thing that kept me up at night about bringing them on was that we weren't going to have a proper training. And I didn't want to signify to them that we weren't intentional about their hire, that we didn't care if they were set up for success. I, as an owner, didn't want to waste my money on people's, you know, trying to learn on the job and catch as catch can and just kind of shadow people.
Right.
Golly, you know, people, such an over-reliance on the shadow. You know, I think that's one thing that companies do so poorly is they're just like, oh, they'll shadow.
Right.
Shadow Marcy
just
in accounting.
Just sit next to them, right?
Just sit
listen
next
to what I do.
Yeah, and the problem with that is you learn all Marcy's bad habits.
Yeah.
Or let's go out with Steve, the top salesperson, for a day. Well, now Steve's going to be sitting in the car with you all day talking about, well, the company does this, company does that. You know, this is kind of BS. Oh, the policy, hey, they're going to tell you to do this, but you don't really got to do that. I haven't done that in 5 years.
Right.
Right? So you start learning all these behaviors and getting all this bad attitude.
Yeah.
Stuff, right? And so we assume that top performers are also great trainers. Does that make sense to you? I mean, what have you found with that?
It's a totally different skill set.
Really? Why?
Training is when you're a recruiter, right? There's an element of coaching. There's an element of training, but it's a whole different ballgame, you know, especially us looking into trainers, right? And you see these systems that they have, all the content you have to create, and then all these like techniques that you have to use. It's a completely different job. And just because you're a subject matter expert, just because you know something really well, doesn't mean you know how to explain it in 100%. A way that they understand it in a clear and actually simple, you know?
Yes. I mean, yeah, we interviewed a half dozen different trainers and training resources.
Yeah.
We learned about all of these online platforms and stuff that people use to learning management systems, right? LMSs, you know, where people store all this stuff. Ultimately, we decided on a good old fashioned PowerPoint, right? I felt like that was robust enough for our, you know, 9-person operation, but we brought in training from a lot of different sources, but we were very intentional about it. We scheduled out the whole week. You know, the first week we decided, you know, it's going to be a classroom first speak, with some real world hands-on kind of stuff because we wanted to mix it up a little bit. We wanted it to be a active learning environment. We didn't want it to be a passive learning environment where you sit there, I stand here, I teach you here, you nod and take notes, and then I say, what did you learn? Because none of us learns like, I mean, most of us don't learn, right?
Yeah,
we wanted to have people do things. We wanted to have people see things, hear things, do things, and then us to give them coaching and feedback on those.
Yeah.
We learned about things like the Socratic method, right? Mm-hmm. Where instead of telling people, you ask questions about what they know. So there's all sorts of elements of this that had we not been so intentional about researching it, we totally would have missed.
Absolutely. And it's going to continue to evolve, right? Okay. I mean, we just started. And another thing is sometimes your training can be too good, meaning—
Whoa, too good?
Too good. It's like—
Too good.
Too good. Too much, right?
Too much. So too long or too what?
Too much information. We take for granted how much we know, right?
Yeah, we do.
We've been doing this for a long time.
Like, oh, they'll pick it up.
Pick it up.
Oh, they came from my competitor. Right. They do the exact same thing. They'll just, it's old hat. They'll pick it up.
Right. They'll pick it up. Or let's just explain to them all these things that aren't relevant.
Yeah.
You know, so that part is really important for someone to feel comfortable, you know, when they're starting.
Yeah, I think you're bringing up a great point. I mean, so we're a recruitment agency that just hired recruiters to do recruiting.
Yeah.
And there was a time in that process that we're like, oh, these guys are going to know more than we do. They're going to have, you know, stuff. They're going to teach us things. They're going to come in, they're going to hit the ground running. And they have.
Yeah, absolutely.
They have done very well very quickly, but there was a lot of industry knowledge we had to teach.
Yes.
There was a lot of, even though they had used some of the same systems, there was a lot of process stuff that we taught, but also innovated together.
Mm-hmm.
There was a ton of culture stuff.
Mm.
Like, I mean, like a total kind of complete rewiring, to be honest with you. I mean, our culture is very strong. Our philosophy on failure, on learning, on constantly challenging ourselves to be better, on being a feedback culture. I mean, these are things that can be wired in people, you know, for years. And then we have to frankly undo a little bit, right?
Yeah.
It could take months to do, right?
Totally.
So there's a lot of like trust. There's just a lot of stuff that we have to train on.
Yes.
And it's not all classroom.
No, it isn't. It's also having conversation. You know, that's part of the training too. You know, me and Tyler here this week, we're just having these conversations, and you know, we did it during the training, right? And you're learning from people. And also, I think that's really important too, because you're talking to them at their level. You're not talking to them. You know, we can do a whole podcast on this, but the point is you've got to have your training together. It's huge.
So how do we create a positive onboarding experience? What does the research say on this? What are the key areas that people hit?
So when I researched this, someone named Talia Bauer. Talia works for the Sherm Foundation, but the four C's is what she talks about. First one is compliance.
Ugh.
Right? That's the lowest.
I hate.
That's the stuff we're talking about. The annoying stuff. Paperwork. Learning the rule, following directions that we were talking about before. Rules are good. Understanding policies of the company, how to act properly.
Yeah, that's important.
Conduct yourself.
I don't want to piss anybody off.
Exactly.
Get it.
Second C, clarification. We talk about it all the time.
It's important. Also underrated.
Exactly.
I think we assume people understand things that they don't understand. I was literally on a 1-hour and 10-minute phone call this morning. At the end, I said, can you clarify our approach again? Can we just make sure we're on the same page? And like 2/3 of the group was like, yeah, what do you not understand? I'm like, everything.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and I fancy myself a fairly intelligent individual.
Yeah. Once in a while.
No idea. Oh, cool.
Third one, culture.
Culture. Yes,
yeah.
I like.
Yeah.
This one I get.
Explaining the way things are done in your organization, the norms, how people act, you know?
Yeah, you know, and it's funny, as you go through these, compliance, clarification, culture, and we got a 4C coming up. But as you go through these, and I'm like, oh, compliance, hate.
Yes.
Clarification. Okay, get it. Culture. Yes.
Gets better.
You know what's funny about that is you should have subject matter experts in your organization, champions for these different areas, right?
Yeah, like that.
So compliance might be, you know, an HR person comes in and they take care of your documentation. They make sure everything's in order. They give you the policies, right?
Yeah.
Clarification might be leadership coming in and giving clarity
right,
of the strategy and the vision and the differentiators, you know, for you in the industry, right? So that's a good leadership role to come in. Culture, there's usually, you know, I like when there's a culture expert in the organization, someone who is the embodiment of the culture.
Right, or the CEO,
the value,
right?
Or the CEO.
If it's a company where they can be there,
there's
right?
a culture keeper in an organization, and they come in and they make sure everybody is fired up and connected.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. And this is the fourth level, which is the highest level she talks about, which is connection. That's ensuring that build relationships, the new hires, and they build relationships with the team in general.
Ooh, I like that. Yeah. How do we do that?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of different ways you can do it. For us personally, right, in our company, it's a little different because we have a remote workforce and an in-person workforce. So we combine the two, right? Combine the virtual communication with the on-site communication. And obviously that's got some challenges that need to be worked through as you build your team and kind of making sure that combination is working. But we use something called Wonder. Why did you decide to use Wonder?
It was free. No. No, so for everybody out there, Wonder is a virtual office platform, and you can share your screen. You can have a whiteboard in there. You can do a lot of things. Everybody has like their own office in there and their own corner of the Wonder world that they're in, and you can come together. And I just thought it was a great way to meet ad hoc, and you can kind of just bubble people and kind of basically knock on their door, yeah, or knock on their cubicle and be like, hey, you around?
Yeah.
You know, and so I just love the fact that it was that collaborative. And I think that in our young companies' evolution and growth, our meetings and our ease of collaboration has created a much tighter and much more compressed iteration cycles, right? Where we're getting better,
right?
We're getting better more frequently than other companies, right? So when you collaborate, you get better,
right?
So we're doing it more often and in a more effective way.
Yes.
So now we're getting better more often than
yes,
our competitors do, right? So anyway, I say all that to say I love Wonder, and I think that anyone who has a distributed workforce should have a virtual office that they
right
to.
Yeah, I think it's amazing. And then the last thing I'll say is you want to make it light. Very stressful for new employees to come into a job. A lot of emotions, right?
Yeah.
Starting something new. You don't know who you're working with. So what do we do here?
Security.
What we did when Tyler started and Adrian is we played a game. Two truths and a lie, which they were both very good at. You know,
which part?
They're both liars.
Well, we asked them to lie, in fairness.
We did, yeah.
No, two truths and a lie, right? It's a silly party game, right? Yeah. It's an icebreaker game.
Yeah.
Right? And it's really designed to get to know. I mean, you get three facts about somebody. It's surprisingly vulnerable coming up yeah with your truths and your lie, right? It's a great way to start conversation and get past very superficial stuff, guarded stuff. So we wanted to break that down, and we wanted to really get into who people were on a deeper level.
Yeah.
And so we busted out an old party favor.
Yeah. And that goes to our culture, which is actually part of our values with truth, love, and fun.
Yeah.
Right? So that's also showing them
having fun.
What our culture is like. Sounds silly, but I think it was really effective.
You know, I think another part of it too is and this is controversial and maybe not everybody's into this thing, but I like going out. I like going yeah out for dinners. I like going out for drinks. I like getting people together outside of the office in a social situation where you can just really dig into who they are as a person, form those relationships and that trust that you need, and those kind of the connection, right? That's the highest of the four C's,
yes,
right? Is connection. And I think that to me is a real opportunity, right? So we went out one night for this amazing Mexican restaurant here. Yeah, we went out to another night. We went out to a bar, you know. We can't do it every night. I don't recommend doing it on the first night. I recommend giving it a couple days, you know,
right,
kind of working into that, kind of crescendoing into
yeah
that. I think it's kind of key to think about the pace and cadence of the first week at work, and you start slow with like, okay, let's get your ID and scan it here, and like let's do like kind of mindless kind of work in the beginning, low pressure, low mm-hmm risk stuff, and then let's work into being more, you know, effective and more engaged and stuff throughout the week. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we like to go out and stuff and bond that way.
Yeah. So I guess any final thoughts? But I mean, you know, we've been doing a lot of training at the company. We did it actually initially virtually on Wonder with our first two hires. What are your thoughts on everything, you know?
Listen, a company's most important resource is their people. A company does not exist without its people. In fact, I define a company as a group of people working towards a common financial goal.
Mm.
All right. So the quality of your people is the quality of your company. And the old adage, you never get a second chance to make a first impression, is always
always true,
right? So when you combine the fact that people are your biggest asset, they're the entirety of your company, really, and their first day, their first week is the most important day or week of their tenure with you, you cannot afford to overlook onboarding. It is so freaking critical, right? And people hire people all the time because they need them yesterday. That is literally the most common start date we hear as recruiters. Mm-hmm. Yesterday, okay? It's not January 1st. It's not, you know, first night. It's yesterday is what I need. So you need them yesterday. So when people need people yesterday, they have a tendency to overlook the first week and get them onboarded properly. I think you're doing yourself a massive disservice. The more time you invest in onboarding and training, directly proportionate to the amount of engagement and the shortness of the learning curve.
I love that.
The ROI is immense.
Yeah, that's great. Totally agree with everything, Ben. Yeah, I think that kind of wraps it up.
Right? Yeah, make sure to do onboarding properly. Make sure to have a codified, measurable, trackable training program. Make sure to give them that gift basket when they show up. Make sure to feed them. Make sure that you're not making them unpack their own computer and set it up, for goodness sakes. Make sure their email works, mm-hmm. right? And I think you're off to a great start. Yeah. Thanks for watching this. This is the Get Talent Podcast. We've been talking about onboarding today. I'm your host, Ben Cross. This is Danny Herskowitz, our Director of Talent here at Glomo. Connect with us on LinkedIn. Hit us up. We'd love to talk to you. If you have any other ideas for shows, please send us your topics. We would love to hear from you and kind of give the people what they want.
Perfect.
Love it. Take care, everybody.
Take care.
Get Talent Podcast.